Welcome to the Freemasons Podcast, coming to you live from Morningstar Lodge number 47. Leave your aprons at the door, my brothers.
What did we not do?
I don't know. It says we're live. And we're up. Excellent connection. We are live now.
Yeah, we're live.
Bitches.
We are live.
Super. I was able to do it. See? I'm not as stink as you dumb I am.
Yeah. You're also not as tall as I thought you were.
Hey!
We did it, Kenny!
And we didn't need your goddamn help.
Even though we don't really
know. Oh, it's easy. Just press the button. You're ready to go. Push the button and you'll be fine.
All right.
Hello and welcome to the Freemasons Podcast with your hosts,
Worshipful Brother Joe.
And Right Worshipful Brother George Maudry.
How come I went first?
I don't know. I just felt like changing it up. It's weird.
It is weird.
The robot's not here. It's weird. Listen, it's not weirder than Ken right now with dog tags on, some jeans.
And playing with the boys.
Ken's
at volleyball for those that don't know. It's as strange as like when you switch hands. Never mind. Strange.
It's called the stranger, too. Especially when you sit on it.
Oh.
Sit on your hand. Not the other thing. That hurt. That's painful. Yeah. Anyway.
Off to a good
hello,
start
Jim.
Here.
Hello, Lee. Hello to everyone watching. We're going to get started with this episode.
Hello.
I know you got likes over there, so.
Yes, I've got a few likes. I think I know. I think we left off at Grim Tidings. So I'm going to work my way.
Sounds familiar.
That. Jovan Guy. Helen O'Reese. Tyler Smith. Mike Catermoli. Cameron Everson, Lucas Gabbert, Michael Calderon, and Matt Hartley.
I actually broke into our Instagram.
Of course.
Don't tell Zuckerberg. I broke into it today. I broke out! Anyway, notifications. I don't know where to find notifications on Instagram. See, this is how long I've been out of the friggin' loop. I don't even know where the notifications are anymore.
I have no idea.
I don't know how to find them, so... Oh my God! Who the hell is that? Ugh. Somebody just randomly popped.
Oh, that's is that Charlie D'Amelio?
I have no idea. Just
it's one of those TikTok dancer people.
I've been out of the social media loop for so long. I have no.
I think if you go to Dunkin' Donuts and order the Charlie, I think that's like her getting paid for that.
I have no idea. I have no idea who the hell.
I think it's Charlie D'Amelio. Or it's her sister, Dixie.
Yeah, I don't know how Ken finds these things because I have no idea. But anyway.
Find me on TikTok, Fat Brad Pitt.
Are you really still back on it again?
No, I haven't been on it a while. But I'm actually, I almost want to go back on because I'm really proud of that handle.
Joseph Maddalena. I hate doing people's names. Anyway, sorry, Joseph. How's it going, brother? How you doing? And Josh McCray, hello from the Wheat State. What's the Wheat State?
It's got to be like out near Iowa or Nebraska or something.
Josh, let us know where you're from, bro. I don't know what the Wheat State is. I know where the bullshit state. That's us.
Kansas. Kansas is the Wheat State.
Kansas, all right. I know Idaho's the potatoes. I got that much.
I knew it had to be out there somewhere. Like Iowa, Nebraska, Kansas, Kentucky, it's all the freaking same.
Connecticut is like the nut state, right?
The nutmeg state?
No, it's just nuts because everybody here is friggin' nuts.
Well, that's True. Especially our politicians, but I digress.
Yeah.
This is not a political discussion forum.
No, it is not. But we're going to bust balls the best. Did the Korg blend in with the wall again?
He's in stealth mode. he's wearing his cloaking device. He's like a Romulan warbird right now with his cloaking device. I think I actually got that right.
Yes, you did. He's playing volleyball right now. So his volleyball skills being improved is more important than being up here playing with us, covering important stuff.
But he's kind of tall, so I'm sure it helps whatever team he's on. Or they just tie a net around him and stick him, make him one of the posts.
So we got two Apple reviews. Well, first let's you did the likes. Let's host the likes.
All right.
Okay.
Gotta get a little right. Toasty. All right.
We're gonna be
Well, I don't have anything else.
I'm gonna go top level here. All right.
A little bit, tiny bit.
George got a Tash or a 9 o'clock shadow. Yeah, I do. I have a 9 o'clock shadow. I've actually hit puberty and now I'm able to grow facial hair. Actually, this is about as long as it'll get because it starts to itch like hell. And I like what you got going on, that shenanigans over there. Yeah, no, not going to happen.
You should see when I grow it like full on Rafferty. I haven't done that in a number of years.
Yeah, no, nope. It starts to itch and I start digging at the skin of my face. Again, I've had baby face since the freaking Marine Corps, basically. I've just always kept it high and tight, baby. Right here. See this?
And baby shoes.
You see, and baby shoes. You see my skunk stripe right here? This is all I get. This is as much as it's going to go. All that? Yeah, not happening.
Yeah. It's, I have to be my own PR campaign. It takes a lot to try to make this look good. That's why I hide half my face.
Wait it, Jill.
Brother, right hand to arms.
Two arms.
Ready.
Ready.
Aim. Fire, good fire, fire all. Together, brother.
Viva, viva, viva. I got hung up on my wire. That's not my fault. I'm about to lay.
Yeah, I was trying to avoid mine.
You know what we got to do is we got to put, so we got going through the hole in the desk here. We got to put holders so that the damn thing don't keep retreating back down into the damn.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. All right. At home for like chargers and stuff that you just stick them right on.
Apple reviews. Let's hit these.
Apple reviews.
Can you give us an Apple review? If you give us a like, subscribe, share, anything on YouTube, we will shout you out and we will give you a toast. I look like shit looking at myself on camera. God, I look like I went through it today.
You look worse sitting next to me. So I'm so pretty.
All right.
Good morning, Elliot Tuck.
5-star review from Future Petitioner. He like phonetically, not phonetically. What kind is that spelling when you actually break down?
Yeah, phonetically.
Word?
You got phonetically. It right. Yeah.
He spelled it P upside down E T I S H A N E R. Future petitioner.
I'm guessing that's for your benefit.
Yes, it is, and it'll explain it because the 5-star review starts off with not an English lesson.
That is true. He's right.
So like he writes. Whoever writes. If you adhere to strict grammar, and then he did it, he broke down the word, grammar, G-R-A-M-E-R, the accurate pronunciations, and then he did that one too, this may not be the podcast for you, but if you are looking for illumination on a plethora, and he phonetically spelled that as well, of subjects in Freemasonry and enjoying witty banter, along the journey, this podcast is perfect. Right Worshipful Brother George and his crew of scallywags, broken down again, guide the listener on shocking topics from random trivia tidbits to in-depth discussions, always presenting a fact, although not necessarily confirmed so.
True. Yeah, he's not wrong on multiple accounts.
Yeah, no, he's not wrong on
the grammar. Spelling and grammar and the content of the show.
And
so. Solid review. That's a fair review.
If we do facts and we know they're facts, we'll actually say fact. But if we don't know, a lot of times we'll ask for help from our listeners.
Either that or we'll just present them as such and be really confident in what we're saying.
Next 5-star review. Fan freaking tastic. 5-star review from Noodletron.
Noodletron? That must be one of Ken's relatives. It's like a spaghetti making cyborg or something. Noodletron. Wasn't that the main bad guy in Transformers?
That was Megatron.
I know.
But close enough. That would be like the Ken version, just all tall,
Noodletron.
Like those things you see at like a tire shop.
At the car shop. Those long gangly blow
up
things.
That's Ken. That's Ken's.
Wow. Somebody please work on that graphic of Ken's face on one of those gangly car dealership blow up things, please.
Oh,
somebody
shit.
Begging you.
I hate when me and you were together without Ken to balance us out.
Yeah, it gets silly really fast. It gets really silly really fast.
I promise you we're going to be hitting a good topic. I actually missed your tarot card presentation the last Lodge meeting, and I sincerely apologize for that.
No worries.
But anyway, a freaking-tastic Noodletron 5-star review. I've been looking into joining a Lodge for a while. Finding this podcast has helped motivate me to do it. I am a JSO. Juvenile supervision officer. I want your job.
Well, I thought it was something completely different.
No, he's like a juvenile supervision officer, okay. Probably like a CEO.
No, that's good because like I thought it was something.
He can
far
come
worse.
To my house and beat my children.
I'll do that for you. I just don't have a badge.
No, my children, my children scare the shit out of you. So my schedule is a bit tight, but I found a lodge in Mindwrap Wells, Texas. So wish me luck. Hey,
good luck.
Good luck. You want a little list of toast, or you want to
dealing with those little,
or do you
bastards.
Want the?
I'm good. You just.
I have my fake vax card, so I'm
yeah.
I'm
poor good. Little one. Just a little. Okay.
Oh Christ. Oh boy.
That's how you build strong immunity.
Damn it. Anyway, let's toast them to our 5-star reviews. Thank you very much. I'll hit YouTube next time because I want to get this show on the road. So, brethren, right hand to arms.
To arms.
Ready.
Ready. Aim.
Fire. Good fire. Fire all. Shooting beer sucks.
Yeah, it does.
Together, brother.
Viva.
Although, I normally don't drink Sam Adams.
Summer Ale has always been
this
solid.
This is pretty good.
Yeah, that's always been a solid beer for
I don't
them.
Think I've ever had one of these.
Back in the back in the old days, it used to have...
Back in my day!
Back when I was an underage drinker, it had a baseball
field. We do not...
Field,
the Freemasons podcast in any Grand Lodge does not condone underage drinking. Ever.
Really?
No.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're right. We don't condone that. I'm sorry. My bad.
Oh, Christ. Anyway, continue.
I think it had like a baseball field like logo on it back in the day, but it's always been a solid one of theirs.
Interesting. All right, brother. You ready? We're going to get right into this one. This is Freemasonry and the Connections or the whatever the hell I named this.
The Freemason...
Freemasonry symbolism in the tarot.
In the tarot.
Right here in front of me, and I still
yes.
didn't screw it up. Anyway,
so,
fire away.
I'll let you know when we get to the portion where I need you to hold up cards. Is
yes,
that
I'm
going to
be
do?
Your Vanna White. I've already okay. told you that. Right. I will be your Vanna. Okay.
So we will do this. I haven't done it on
more attractive
my phone before.
Than Vanna, but I'll
so
do
we
it.
Don't need them quite yet, but this is a presentation that I've done.
Is that Ken?
Yes. Actually, I wonder if there's a robot card. This is a presentation that I did in Morningstar 2-3 weeks ago.
Yes.
Something like that. And I've actually done it in my mother lodge a couple years ago. And actually was a guest at Master's Lodge number 5 in Albany, New York, and did this presentation for them via Zoom.
Oh, that's cool.
When the pandemic and lockdown first started, they were looking for guests, so they asked me to do this. So I actually got a lot of it, or at least what sparked my interest on it was years ago. And shout out to the Grand Lodge of Connecticut, Ancient Free and Accepted Masons Committee on Masonic Education. They used to put on seminars a couple times a year, obviously, talking pre-COVID times. Where you go up for a few hours and, they'd give you these little short talks and you can, there are maybe 9 different talks. You could only attend 3 the way that they were spaced out, but you got to kind of pick from the 9 which 3 you wanted to attend. And Right Worshipful Brother Mike Dodge. Do you remember Mike Dodge?
I do.
He did a presentation
on... Where does he live now? Like Philippines or something like that? Or Taiwan?
I don't know.
Or
I mean, I know he was up
Bangkok.
In the way northeast corner. To start, which means I never got to see him anyway
right.
when he was in Connecticut. Mm-hmm. But he had done a presentation on using the the tarot, specifically the one we're using today, the Rider-Waite tarot deck, and using it as a form of meditation and actually like pulling cards and just meditating on some of the symbols that are in it. So that's what started me down the path, I don't know, probably 5-6 years ago, maybe a little bit more. So, you know, as you get into some of the cards and looking at them, there's definitely some are a little more hidden than others and take some interpretation, but there's some that are absolutely blatant. And looking through it, I'm thinking to myself, there's got to be a connection here. There has to be something. Mm. So the deck is Rider-Waite. It's hyphenated R-I-D-E-R hyphen Waite, W-A-I-T-E. And we're going to concentrate on the Waite, who is Arthur Edward Waite. Mm-hmm. So he is the one that kind of took this tarot deck and wrote a companion guide to it that George will show up later. And then really was involved in the artwork and kind of attaching meanings to some of the artwork. So, you know, a lot of the stuff that I'm pulling from here is through some of his readings. I'm going to touch on, just to properly credit the folks, Manly P. Hall's Lost Keys of Freemasonry and, you know, a few other online sources. But if you doubt that there's any connection at all, I will give you some information on Brother Arthur Edward Waite. Was considered a mystic and occultist.
Oh, he's a brother.
He is.
No kid.
Mystic and occultist and an enthusiastic Freemason. Brother Waite was also a prolific author in each of these subject areas and was the founder of numerous mystic organizations. The biggest one that he was a part of that you'll probably recognize is the Order of the Golden Dawn.
Shut up.
Yes.
God, so we're going to have to like get some info on that. This.
And he... I apologize if the way that these things slide.
Yeah, I kind of sprung this on you at the last minute, brother. I'm sorry.
No worries. So, Ancient Order, the Golden Dawn, you know, Aleister Crowley.
Yep.
Bram Stoker, a few other people involved in that.
Mm-hmm.
That he was also a well-known Rosicrucian. So, to deny that there's any... influence at all would just be silly since his name is on the deck and we know that he comes from this this background. I will try to keep as best I can keep this sanitized for, because normally I'm presenting this to a bunch of Masons.
Okay.
So I could be a little more blatant on some of the symbolism. But anybody listening, I'll use certain buzzwords and phrase that anybody that's listening that's a Mason will certainly...
Do they allude to degrees or obligations or something?
They allude to degrees.
I think you can get away with it. I think as long as you're not punching holes in the obligation part of it, I think that, because, I mean, realistically, that's...
I mean, it's a tarot card, and it's out there. And I think what I can... I'll try to discuss in metaphors that anybody that's initiated will be able to pick up on.
Yeah.
And if you feel like we're getting too into it, then...
Again, I don't
we
think
could we... always bail, but I think we'll be all right.
All right.
So there's five cards in particular that we're going to go through today, starting with the Fool.
No, not me, because I'm getting up.
So George's going to bring that over to the... So because I haven't prepared, I'm going to be reading some of this. But so you can see, you're good. No glare.
Good.
So the Fool tarot card is the number zero. You'll see at the top there. It's right in the middle. It's the zero card. So it's the very first one that's there. On the Fool tarot card, a young man stands on the edge of a cliff without a care in the world as he sets out on a new adventure. He is gazing upwards towards the sky and is seemingly unaware that he is about to skip off a precipice into the unknown. Over his shoulder rests a modest knapsack. So... in essence, he has all of his possessions with him. So you would say that in some manner he may be destitute. White rose in his left hand represents purity and innocence. Now, if you look over down to the bottom corner there, you'll see a little white dog. So the white dog is his guide. So, you know, the dog always, you know, historically has symbolized loyalty, friendship. And you can see that that dog's pretty happy and about to join him on the journey. So, to me, you know, it reminds me of, you know, a certain point where you have to follow your guide throughout the lodge. And you could see that this fool, because he's uninitiated and he doesn't know what's about to happen, he's kind of fearless right now. He's not really fearing any danger. He's got his little guide dog, and he's about to step off on this journey having no idea what's in front of him, because all that's there is a cliff. There's nothing that he can see. But he doesn't really care about that right now. He's more focused on starting his expedition. So now if you look up the tarot card and the meaning of the Fool card, it's a card of new beginnings, opportunity, and potential. Just like the young man, you are on the outset of a journey, standing at the cliff's edge and about to take your first step into the unknown. Even though you don't know exactly where you are going, you are being called to commit yourself and follow your heart. No matter how crazy this leap of faith might seem to you, now it's a time where you need to trust where the universe is taking you. So to me, this reminds me of a lot of the things that you hear and your experience when you are at the door. Yeah, you can take that down, sir. When you are at the door and you're being given certain instructions, and when you're preparing for that EA degree. So this, to me, is very symbolic of not the EA degree itself, but prior to. You're the uninitiated. You don't know. You're the fool. Not aware of what's... But you've got this little guide dog that's taking you that you need to trust and follow and not be afraid to go further. But you're excited about starting this new adventure and this new journey. And like you said, with just that modest knapsack over his shoulder there, a little hobo bag like we've often referred to it as, he's poor. He's destitute. He doesn't have a lot of material possessions with him. So that'll strike some notes with people that have gone through the degrees. The last thing I want to point out.
Also, when you're traveling too, right? I mean, back in the day, you know, you would travel. You didn't have a backpack. There was no purses. Right. You had
that.
And one of the things that Masons call each other is traveling man.
Traveling man. Yep. But he's getting ready to travel and has no idea where the journey is going to take him. And then you see...
off a cliff into the freaking water in a minute.
But there's also the white mountains way off in the background that he's not even thinking about at this point.
The white mountains. I can go back up there. Might be hard to see. We got the freaking glare.
But there's a mountain range in the back that is very distant, but that'll come into play in other cards. So we're going to move to the next card, which is the Magician.
You have these in order, don't you?
Yes,
I do. Oh, you're a doll. Yes, I would have been.
Some say Chucky, but whatever. Doll's a doll.
That was me who started that, by the way. All right,
I'm going to use the other arm, though, because...
That's okay.
You know what I'm going to do, too? Like, I'm going to move this monitor so I can actually see what the hell I'm doing. You're good with that, right?
Yeah, no, you're done. I've got everything I need right in front of me here.
Sorry, everything's backwards. Is that good?
Yep, that's good right there. Okay. All right, so this is the number one card of the Major Arcana. And this, to me, represents the Entered Apprentice. The Magician is number one. It's the number of new beginnings and opportunities and associates with the planet of Mercury, also known as Hermes.
First planet close to the sun.
He stands with one arm stretched upwards towards the universe and the other pointing down to the earth. His positioning represents his connection between the spiritual realms and the material realms. The Magician uses this relationship to create and manifest his goals in the physical realm. He is the conduit that converts energy into matter. The Magician's robe is white, symbolizing purity, and his cloak is red, representing worldly experience and knowledge. On the table in front of him are the four symbols of the tarot suits, a cup, pentacle, sword, and a wand, each symbolizing one of the four elements, water, earth, air, and fire. It's also a sign that he has all the tools and elements he needs to manifest his intentions into being. Above his head is the infinity symbol, and around his waist is a snake biting its own tail, both of which signal that he has access to unlimited potential. And in the foreground is an array of foliage and flowers symbolizing the blossoming and fruition of his ideas and aspirations. So in this one, it's... All right, he's... You're good. He's starting to tap into the spiritual side of things to help him navigate the physical realm, which, you know, is in essence what Freemasonry is. You're tapping into some spiritual things and this higher power, this grand architect of the universe, to help guide you through your normal life in front of all mankind. On the table in front of him, or some could say it's an altar, he's got some tools. Now, he may not know how to use all of them yet, and it symbolizes the potential of what, but he doesn't realize it at this point, but everything he needs is right in front of him. Similar to if you were at the altar looking at the three great lights surrounded by the three lesser lights, and then later in the degrees, the working tools. So in this card, if you were to draw this card in a tarot reading, assuming it's drawn upright, this is a card of a master manifester. The magician brings you the tools, resources, and an energy you need to make your dreams come true. Seriously, everything you need right now is at your fingertips. When you combine them with the energy of the spiritual and earthly realms, you will become a manifestation powerhouse. As above, so below. So this card is starting to open up to joining the spiritual realm and the physical realm. So bringing them together is what's going to get you where you want to be in life. And it's kind of an allusion to alchemy as well, the way things are set up there.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know what I found interesting too, and maybe this is just, I mean, I know it doesn't really have anything to do with the apprenticery, but he is looking down at lilies too.
Yeah, and the lilies are there, and, you know, they always represent, they do represent purity and innocence. As an entered apprentice, you're still kind of innocent. You're initiated, but the mysteries have yet to be revealed to you.
You realize you just gave a whole bunch of conspiracy theorists like ammunition. Like, see, he's innocent when he comes to the lodge, and then he turns into the devil.
Well, that's right. That's what happens when the past masters get all of you.
Fair point.
All right. So the next card is the number 2 of the major arcana, and this is the High Priestess. And this one is extremely blatant. I told you some were hidden and some not so much.
Let's get my arm work on it. Oh my god, I just see my snaz in the camera. Holy shit, my nose is that big.
Nah, it's the camera adds 10 pounds.
Oh yeah.
So on this one, without even looking at my notes here, it's the number 2 card. You've got a veil of pomegranates behind the Empress. You've got two pillars, clearly Jachin and Boaz. Some of the more subtle things, and it's funny because when I gave this presentation in Master's Lodge 5 up in Albany, they were saying, how come so many of the symbols are feminine? This is a male fraternity. It can't be right because of the feminine symbolism. And I'm like, well, first of all, go look up some things. There's definitely some homage paid to the sacred feminine within Freemasonry, you know, one of which being the name of this lodge that we're in right now is Morningstar. That's Venus. You know, it doesn't get any more feminine than Venus. But on this card, the big one before I let you, so that's a veil hanging behind her, which is kind of hiding some of the mysteries. Okay, so think about the Fellowcraft degree. On that veil are pomegranates. Again, very... very blatant when it comes to the Fellowcraft degree. But the thing I want to draw your attention to is what's on her lap. It's the Torah. However, Torah is spelled T-O-R-A-H. So think about the position of the compasses during the Fellowcraft degree. It's some parts are. This is. Yeah, you know what I'm saying.
You're still good though.
Where some of the information in masonry is presented to you in the fellow craft degree, but you're told you may have received some information, but there's still other information being hidden from you. Yeah, you're good with the card. I just wanted to make sure that we got the Torah in there. So here you have the sacred volume in front of you, but there's part of it is still unseen.
So can I just a couple things that
ahead.
I noticed on this? One, I just want to be clear for our Discordians, that is Boaz and Jachin, and not anything else, because I know they're dead. But I think it's quite interesting that if you also look besides the pomegranates in the back, you actually could see network, right? Isn't that network, or is that just brambles?
It's kind of like vines and okay. Ivy, but there isn't.
I was looking at the camera.
Yeah,
like,
no,
out
but
of,
there,
I was
not,
looking at the car.
It's not classic network, but if you were look at the way that ivy grows, you know, it is interconnected. There is some interlocking there.
So one of the other things I wanted to ask about is that like a broken half moon?
It's just part of her robe hanging over the moon.
Okay.
But it is the crescent moon that I believe we also have found that when Venus. In certain points, Venus will actually make the underside of it, cradling.
Yeah, we actually did a whole episode talking to Scott Walter about the feminine in Freemasonry and the might not be actually giving homage to the sun. It may be giving homage to Venus. So.
Which
interesting.
Which is, you know, I tapped into that a bit when I was doing this presentation, and I was asked, you know, why so many feminine symbols,
right.
And to me that's why.
You know what I find interesting too? Her crown that she's wearing. It's very, I want to say Egyptian looking, right? Like you'd picture like Isis wearing or something, right?
Yes, and it's actually called, and I know I'm going to pronounce this incorrectly, a horned, I'm going to say diadem, it's D-I-A-D-E-M, both the symbol of both that and the cross are considered a symbol of her divine knowledge and her status as a divine ruler.
You know, I mean, I'm spitballing here, and again, it also could be the womb.
Could be.
You know what I mean? Don't you see like the womb symbolism, like fallopian tubes in a womb, like a child being born, like a fellow craft I'm just kind of.
And you actually kind of gave me a good little segue into something we're going to talk on the next card, which are some of the ram's heads and how that symbolizes the reproductive organs of a female.
Stand by. Keep going while you're talking about it, because I got something to show on that.
So while he's doing that, you know, I'll wait before we get into the next card here. And I know a lot of you are going to jump in and say, oh, my God, he went from 0 to 1 to 2 to 4. What happened to 3? And I assure you we will get into that. But right now we're just pausing for a commercial so George can hurry up and run back.
I'm right here.
All right, he's back.
So, do the card for us, and then I'll show these. Because I got a little something on the ram's horns thing. Go ahead.
All right. So, the card we're going to show here is the number 4 card of the major arcana, which is the emperor. So, you know, there'll be some questions as to, well, why is it number 4? Why is it number 3? What does that represent the master? I actually think, based on my research, that this represents the past master, the 4th degree. Because remember what you're told when you're going through your degrees. You can reach no higher degree than that of a master mason. So this is, and we'll get into this when I go to the next card. This is why I think it goes, there is a 3 card, but it kind of doesn't fit. But I think this is the past master, and once I read the description to you, I think you'll see the connections. The emperor is the father, He sits upon a large stone throne adorned with four ram's heads, symbolic of his connection with Aries and the planet Mars. In his right hand, the emperor holds an ankh, the Egyptian symbol of life, and in his left is an orb representing the world over which he rules. He wears a red robe indicative of his power, passion, and energy for life. Underneath it, he wears a suit of armor, suggesting that he's protected from any threat and any emotional response or vulnerability. So think about it for... So I kind of see this as the person that sat in the East. And you kind of have to have a thick skin. And you're there to symbolize the wisdom of Solomon. So you've got to hold up... you can take it down for a moment. I may need you to put back up. You could take a break. But you do kind of have to guard against your emotions when you're sitting in the East there. You have to make the best decision for the lodge and remove some of that. His long white beard is symbolic of his age-old wisdom and experience, and along with his gold crown, he is an authority figure who demands to be heard. If that doesn't sound like a past master, I don't know what does. But the only thing, once I point this out, George, you can put your arm down. Look what's behind his throne. It's that mountain range that was way in the back of the distance in the Fool card. It's now part of the kingdom that he rules over. Behind his throne looms a tall, impenetrable mountain range, signifying that he is backed by a solid foundation but resistant to making any changes unless he deems it necessary. Again, very past masterish. Beneath the peaks flows a small river, giving some hope that despite his tough exterior, he's still an emotional being. It will just take a lot of digging and trust to open him up to his softer side. So you can take that one down.
So
here is, you know, I see this one as he's the grizzled veteran. He's been there. He's sat over the lodge. And if you like reading that description, it's somebody who's sat in the chair. It's an elder. It's somebody who's, and I use the term loosely, ruled over his lodge. You know, you've got the ram's heads. You've got four of them there.
Right.
Again, symbolizing. You've got symbols of life. You have symbols of fertility.
So a couple things I just wanted to point out. He's definitely wearing the suit of armor, and it seems like he's in a very defensible position. And that makes sense of a past master, because when a young mason comes out, you're going to do this. That's not how we get it. So, yes, that's definitely a defensive thing.
And if you think you have to take, you know, at least in our jurisdiction, I'm assuming it's the same in others, you have to take that past master's degree before you can begin your year as master.
He similarly has the face I have when I took that degree during the whole middle of it. We don't need to get into the explicit detail of that degree. But, right?
That's the
same, expression I had.
Yeah.
It was either like, I'm going to kill everybody in this damn lodge. Anyway, a couple other things. I want to dabble onto the ram's horn, because I know this is like a huge conspiracy theorist thing. The ram's horn is the devil. No, ram's horn is not the devil. So I find it interesting, and you, I don't know if you picked up on this. Maybe you did, maybe you didn't. But there's four ram's heads.
Yes.
Not all lodges.
Oh, I see. You grabbed those.
But our lodge, if you look at our altar, actually has ram's horns on each corner of our altar.
Totaling how many?
Four.
Four.
So there's four of these ram's horns, and I believe these are real. These are pretty
genuine.
Yes,
there was some story behind them, but I forgot.
There is. And I actually learned this from worship brother Phil Miller. That in Jewish tradition, that when it might even be Bible, I don't know. So you guys can fact check me on any of this stuff, or look it up for yourself, because that's what this is all about, is for you to do research on Freemasonry. Don't sit here and let us idiots tell you.
Yeah, this is just
look it up for yourself.
My own conclusions based on the stuff that I've seen.
So. But Worship Brother Phil told me about Jewish tradition. If somebody was persecuted or was in trouble for a crime, they could run to the altar of God, hold on to the ram's horns, and they basically pray at the altar and could not be touched until he let go.
Yeah.
And then whatever would happen. Also, I mean, ram's horns are all over the damn Bible.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, ram's horn was blown through when the walls of Jericho fell. So ram's horns are not, you know, Satan, Lucifer, all that crap.
No, no.
It's also in the Bible, too. The ram's horn was a very useful. I mean, if you want to look at it from just basic bare bones, the ram's horn was very useful to ancient peoples because they used them as horns. They used them as symbolic, you know.
Right. And it's one of those things where, much like the Star of David or the Seal of Solomon, which is, in essence, combining the ancient symbols for male and female with the upward-facing triangle and the downward-facing triangle, the ram is kind of a similar symbol where it represents, on one hand, it represents power and strength and masculinity, but you can't deny that it resembles the female reproductive organ. So it's kind of a balance of the two, much like the Star of David or Seal of Solomon, however you want to.
Interesting that Joseph Maddalena he said there's another one on his shoulder too.
Yes.
I never noticed that. So there's actually in total five. I was just going off of, basically the four corners of his chair are covered and kind of similar to at least not all Masonic altars. I want to be clear. I think there's only two or three in the state of Connecticut. I know one of them is King Solomon's Lodge, number 7 in Woodbury.
Yep.
They have horns. They actually have the spinny ram's horns. We got just the straight ones. But and this also, what did you call this thing in his right hand?
Ankh.
You did call it an Ankh. Okay. Yeah. I mean, that
Egyptian symbol of life. Yeah.
I was going to say, it might also tie back to ancient Egypt. Now, interesting thing, and I don't want to get too freaking bananas on this, and I know I'm going to get torn apart by people making fun of me about this, but you ever played PlayStation?
Like, not since PlayStation 2, but yeah.
Do you ever play Assassin's Creed?
No.
Never played Assassin's Creed. I know somebody's going to go there, but if you talk about the orb in his left hand, Assassin's Creed, again, I get it. It's a fictional story, blah, 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 which is, I don't remember how they started off their thing, but it was a fictional story with bits of history in it. And one of the things they talked about in Assassin's Creed, the game, was actually that the Apple of Eden was actually a device that was held, and there's so many pictures of mostly, I would say, Victorian era pictures of people holding this orb in their hand. I would love for you guys to look this up. Please blast the page and, you know, on Facebook or YouTube or whatever, not YouTube, on Facebook with these pictures if you can find them. But there's so many pictures of people holding an orb in their hand.
And now that you're mentioning that, I'm almost wondering, could look it up, is the that apotheosis of George Washington. In one of his hands, is he holding an orb?
I believe he is. No. I think his hands are just on on the thing. But, I'll have to look up these photos if I can find them. Or if anybody can find them, please put them all over the Facebook page. But I find it interesting that, you know, here's another picture of somebody holding an orb, which seems to be glowing in his hand.
Like, and it's representing his wisdom and what he's ruling over, and
and that's what I'm saying. Right. If you want to take it to the apple, the apple gave knowledge.
Right.
Exactly. Boom.
Yep. So
Assassin's Creed is awesome. A lot is fictitious, but there's a lot of truth. Yeah. I mean, it's historical fiction, kind of. Yeah, yeah. And honest to God,
they had to pull from some source to kind
of. And Assassin's Creed is one of those games where you sit back and you're like, huh. It makes you think, like, even if you take it just as a game, but I love things that make you think, like,
yeah,
shit, could that be real? You know, could that really happen? You know? Anyway, move on to your next one.
Yeah, so before you show this card, this is the number 9 card, okay? And it's...
Well, that's 3 threes.
It's exactly, and I'll get into that. It's also the Hermit Tarot card, which, you know, I've probably talked about it on this show before, where there was I have this tattoo of this on my leg because there was a time in my life where I was having some issues, and the number 9 kept recurring. and it kept recurring in different forms, in different ways, and ultimately it drew me back to this card. And then when I read the meaning behind this card and did some more research on it, that's the reason why I ended up with a tattoo of it on my leg. But it's the number 9, which, like you said, is the 3-3 times. If you want to take a break before I get into the card, you can put your arms down for a little bit. It's the number 3-3 times, which is a very sacred number.
I just wanted to say
number.
I'm glad that it was tattooed on your leg and not your penis. So.
Is your penis a hermit?
I'll leave it alone. Are you saying it hides? Never mind. It retreats and hides? Is that where you're going?
Could never be seen?
Sorry, but, I'm sorry. I'm breaking your stride here. I'm sorry.
But the 3-9 is the 3-3 times, and it's considered in Freemasonry and a lot of other mysticism the perfect number because it is the 3-3 times. And that's why I think this represents the true Master Mason, not necessarily the degree of Master Mason, but if you've ever read The Lost Keys of Freemasonry by Manly P. Hall, he relates the degrees not only to the actual, you know, the physical degrees that you go through in Lodge, but it's your station in life. And it represents a phase of your life. And the Master Mason being one that, as you're told, no higher degree can be bestowed upon you. And that's why I think 9 was selected for this one, because it is that perfect number. Now, if you look at this, you know, the first thing I want to point out, remember that mountain range that was in the back in the Fool card and the Emperor card, he was kind of ruling over it. He's now on top of that mountain. He's conquered that mountain. Hermit stands alone at the top of a mountain. The snow-capped range symbolizes his spiritual mastery, growth, and accomplishment. And again, think of that in relation to the Master Mason degree and where you are. Not only, like I said, not just the physical degrees, but your stations in life. He has chosen this path of self-discovery and as a result has reached a heightened state of awareness. In his right hand, he holds a lantern with a 6-pointed star inside. It is the seal of Solomon, a symbol of wisdom. As the hermit, he walks his path. The lamp lights his way, but it only illuminates his next few steps rather than the full journey. He must step forward to see where to go next, knowing that not everything will be revealed at once. In his left hand, the side of the subconscious mind, the hermit holds a long staff, a sign of his power and authority, which he uses to guide and balance him. So you can go ahead and take that down. But when all this stuff was going on, you know, this is at the time where I went and did my retreat at the monastery. When right. I was trying to figure, and that's when the number 9 kept coming to me. But now so that's from the tarot. I want to read you from Manly P. Hall's Lost Keys of Freemasonry, his description of a Master Mason. And this is, again, the phase of life Master Mason, not the actual degree, but where you become a Master Mason in life. The Master Mason, on the upper steps of a spiritual unfoldment stands the Master Mason, who spiritually represents the graduate from the school of esoteric learning. In the ancient symbols, he is represented as an old man leaning upon a staff, his long white beard upon his chest, and his deep piercing eyes sheltered by the eyes of a philosopher. He is in truth old, not in years, but in wisdom and understanding, which are the only true measurement of age. So this one, like I said, really hits home to me because it really represents a time in my life where I was going through these challenges and different things going on that things started to unfold for me. I started to see things differently. This is right around the time when all this is going on and the number 9's flashing and I'm looking up the Hermit tarot card is when I decided to pick up the Lost Keys of Freemasonry again because the first time I read it, I'm like, yeah, I don't get it.
Right.
And then reading it at that time, they are heavy. They're really heavy. But
like,
when I read it
this
time.
You sit down, you get one chapter, and you're like,
yeah. You know? But when I read it this time, it was different. It flowed. And then when I read that section on Master Mason, like, there it is. Mm. Like, it's all starting to make sense now. Everything started to come together. So maybe that's why this number nine kept recurring to get me to that point where I started to realize it's, you know, it's all connected.
You know what I get all the time? 3-3-3.
Yeah.
All the goddamn time.
I used to get it.
And I get it. I know. There's people that are like, oh, well, if you look for it, you can find it. You'll start looking for it. But it doesn't happen like that. That's what I'm trying to explain to people. Like, I'll be just driving. And granted, I know that gas prices are 333 right now. Thank you, Mr. Biden.
Oh, got it.
You know, but like other times, like I'll look at the clock just at random, 333. I'll wake up in the middle of the night, clock, 333. I'll get behind a truck that, you know, the numbers, you know, for the call us here, you know, to tell me how my driving's doing. 1-800-333.
Right.
Blah, 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 blah. You know, so it's not like you go looking for it. I'll get an address for one of my deliveries. So like, oh, what road is it on? It's on this road. Oh, what's the house number? 333. And it's like, come on, man. Like,
yeah, and it starts.
Stop being so goddamn cool. Just tell me what to do already.
And it makes no sense until it makes sense.
And that's the problem. It's going on for freaking years, and it never makes goddamn sense.
So during this time, all the stuff that we're talking about, you know, there was a significant event in my life that happened on July 2nd. There's a significant event in my life that happened on December 15th. There were a lot of things that kept, you know, I don't want to get too far into it, but I had a very close family member that had to go to Yale New Haven Hospital for a while, and he was and on the seventh floor, room two. You know, these things kept recurring. And then I'm going to try to find a picture for you that I'll put up on the podcast page later. But I'm randomly out drinking a beer one day. Oh, it wasn't that random. I drink a lot of beer. So I take that part.
That's why I started laughing.
But, and I'll try to.
We randomly drink beer?
Well,
it's pretty steady.
It's actually. The drinking beer is not that random, but this was all happening at that same time. And then look at my beer.
It's empty. You need to refill. What are we looking at?
The center of it. The what's the what are the suds forming?
The number nine. That's creepy shit.
And that's why I took a picture of it. And I'm like, this was all happening within like a month.
You need to post that shit on the page. That's creep.
So that was my fascination with the number nine, which kind of related back to this tarot, which related back to this Master Mason, which related back to Manly P. Hall. And that's when I really started to realize, you know, maybe I'm entering that phase of my life where, you know, some of the mysteries of a true Master Mason are starting to be made aware to
did
me.
Anything, like, I went hit on you? Did anything hit you with the number nine? It was like something like, you know, like that's the part that pissed me off about the whole 333 thing. It doesn't give me any goddamn end. I just keep seeing it, and there's no like, there's no lost treasure freaking moment, right? Where it's like Nicolas Cage runs in the room, he's like, turn to page 333, and then I find what I'm looking for, right? Well, there's no. There's no combination to the safe that the code is 333.
While I didn't find...
that's the shit that pisses me off.
While I didn't find the treasure, let me read you one other quick thing here.
Serial Quilla. I heard the Freemasons were like a cult or something. I'm a cult of personality. I like drinking beer, and I like guns in America. I don't even... No, we're not a cult.
So while all this is going on and nine is, and that, for me, I feel like I did find that treasure that I was looking for and the meaning behind it, because when the nine keeps recurring, that led me back to the Hermit Tarot card. You look up the tarot meaning on it, and if it comes up in your reading, the Hermit shows that you were taking a break from everyday life to draw your energy and attention inward and find the answers you seek. Deep within your soul, you realize that your most profound sense of truth and knowledge is within yourself and not in the distractions of the outside world. You leave behind the mundane to set off on a journey of self-discovery, led only by your inner wisdom and guiding light. Now is the perfect time to go on a weekend retreat or sacred pilgrimage, anything in which you can contemplate your motivations, personal values, and principles and get closer to your authentic self. When I read that, because I had been toying with the idea that monastic retreat, and I'm like, no, this is
now
what
you're
I'm
going.
Supposed to do. This is what I'm supposed to do.
And you probably wore something similar too, right?
What, as far as the... No, I wore regular clothes there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You didn't have to dress up like...
I did not have to dress up like...
Mine. You didn't have to pull like we wanted to do on our Easter episode?
No. But it says, a hermit often appears when you are at a pivotal point in your life and considering a new direction. Through meditation, contemplation, and self-examination, you may begin to reevaluate your personal goals and change your overall course. You will look at your life with a deeper, more spiritual understanding, and a few of your priorities will change as a result.
That's creepy.
And, like, that's exactly where I was at that phase of
my life. Kind of pertains to my 333, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Great.
I mean, so, yeah, I think you'd get thrown out of the monastery. I don't know that I could recommend that. You can't talk for 3 days.
What about make sounds?
Well, they do give you really good food, so that's inevitable sometimes. But no, but that's so to me.
What are you
that,
trying to say? I talk too much?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
When have you been known to be quiet for 3 hours, let alone 3 days? And you can't. There's no internet. Like, there's no phones. You're really.
Can you, like, puff a cigar if you wanted to?
I don't think you can.
Jesus Christ.
So, like, you're really...
As we're talking about monastery, like, I almost dropped the JC. I had to pull that one back at the last moment. Jesus Christ.
It's okay. He'd forgive you.
Would he, though?
But to me, like, that was the treasure. That was what I was seeking, and that's...
Serial Quilla says, the hermit card is the dark night of the soul, facing your shadow self. Well, it's kind of... I guess so.
Yeah, I mean, you're looking inside. It's kind of you're really examining yourself to who you're representing or portraying to the outside world, to who your true self is, and you're trying to reconcile those two.
Well, I mean, what they say is the subconscious is hidden too, right? Well, that would be dark, I guess, right? The dark side of your brain that, you know.
Yeah, I mean, dark doesn't have
scientific.
To mean
scientific. Dark doesn't have to mean bad.
Doesn't mean evil. It just means there's no light shed on it yet, so it's undiscovered. And, you know, with that, you know, if you want to go that, he's talking about lighting his way with the lantern, which only lights so much.
Which reminds me, give me back the Empress or whatever her damn name is. You know what else I noticed in this too? You got white and black on the pillars.
Yes.
That's our mosaic floor.
Absolutely.
I didn't think that one's
pretty blatant.
Yeah.
That one itself is. But this was also the reason why I decided to start doing the middle chamber the way that I do. With the staff. With the staff and the light.
Because here you didn't do it last time, actually.
I didn't.
Did you forget?
No, I did. I did the lantern. Rocco's staff creeps me out, man. I'm not using that. I'm making my own, actually, where I'm burning symbols into the wood, and then I'm going to put a stain on it. Rocco's is like...
Where'd it come from, though? Rocco!
Right.
Of course it's fucking creepy.
It's like some kind of like old man Mr. Hanalei, Brady Bunch Hawaii taboo kind of thing.
With a snake coiled around it.
Yeah, it creeps me out. I did use the lantern, but that's why. And that's why I do the middle chamber the way I do, because I want to be this knowledgeable person passing wisdom along to the brothers going through the degree.
I mean, I love Rocco, but he does some outlandish shit sometimes. Like when he was Tyler, and he actually showed up with like a real life katana blade.
Oh Jesus!
He was Tyler with a katana blade, and I'm like, please.
Do you think he's like Kill Bill?
Please, please, please. When Grand Lodge shows up, please put that goddamn thing away. He did. Joseph Madalena says, "Seeing 333 means you need to focus on harmonizing mind, body, and spirit." Oh, I'm fucked. That ain't happening.
Which is exactly...
I do my best, but...
But that's exactly why I think it relates to that number 9 card, because that's what that card is all about.
Right.
Is bringing all those things into balance, trying to find your true self, getting more in touch with your spiritual side of things, removing yourself from the distractions of the... What do we like to refer to as? The profane world.
Right.
That's what that card is all about. And that's why I think this tarot connects to ancient mysteries, which is connected to Freemasonry, which is, you know, clearly Arthur Waite was involved in the ancient mysteries and esotericism. It's all there. It all connects,
right.
At least in my eyes. And that's again, this is my interpretation. This is based on the things that I've read, the research that I've done, and what it means to me personally. It may mean something else to other people. They may find other things that resonate with them, but I can only share my path and my journey.
I want to thank you. That was awesome.
You're welcome.
I really enjoyed that, and I hope everybody else did too. If you like it, please like the video.
Smash that like button.
Smash the like button. Comment and share this, as well as subscribe to us, and click the little notification bell so you'll see when we go live, when our computers decide to go live. Although Ken got a nice little rig there.
Yeah.
It's actually, I mean, we're busting his balls to begin with, but yeah, it's actually a nice little setup he's got over there. So
yeah, if you guys liked it, great. Like George said, smash that like button. Subscribe if you didn't like it. Remember what your mother told you, and if you have nothing nice to say, don't say anything at all. Keep your comments to yourself.
And if you do say something bad, rest assured, I'm not that guy. Everybody's like, let it go, George. Be methodic. Be above it. No. I come right back heavy.
Is that you mocking me? Because that's usually what I'm telling you.
No, I'm a fighter. No, that's not me mocking you. Well, maybe. I did use the Karen voice, so I mean, yes, I guess it's a little bit of mocking you.
I have a Judy voice. I don't have a Karen voice. I have a Judy voice.
All right. Now on to one last order of business. We have a brother of ours, long-time listener of this podcast, as well as supporter, and has been on... One of our originals. Worshipful brother Greg Schultz was diagnosed with cancer. We have started a GoFundMe page for him, as we did with Right Worshipful Brother Chip Schofield, and we're going to help out. So there is a GoFundMe page, and you can please go donate to this man. He's a good brother and a good dude, and he's battling with cancer. And you don't got to give much. Give what you can. It's not so much monetary, as well as just seeing all the support for him. I think him going through and actually looking at all the people who've donated for him would be monstrous. So if you can, go to TTPS.
Or colon, you can just go to the Freemasons podcast page or the Freemasons podcast community page, and the links are right there.
Oh, you did it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Then I shut up from now on with the HTTPQ fucking Ken talk shit. So
I'm just proud that you could spell HTTP. Very proud of you. I'm going to get you like one of those little certificates with the gold sticker on it.
Shut up. We'll be back Sunday? Sunday.
Think so.
Sunday. Yeah, we'll be back Sunday.
Please
go on the Freemasons Podcast Facebook page, and the link will be up there. Please donate to this brother. He's a good dude. He's a good brother, and we're going to do everything we can to help him out. So
yeah, if you go to the one on the actual podcast page is shareable for whatever reason. I think it's just the privacy settings. The community one is not shareable. Yeah. So if you want to get it out there and share the link, go to the Freemasons podcast on Facebook, and you will be able to share the link right there.
Just remember, this is what we do. This is why this podcast is here. This is what we do. Yes, it's great that we spread knowledge, but we are Masons. We help each other out. We defend each other. We protect one another. This is what we do. So all you conspiracy theorists that think we're devil worshippers and all that shit, no. This is what we do. We help each other out.
And we'll even help you, devils.
We'll even help you, devil.
Conspiracy theorist people.
Card conspiracy. We'll help you out.
We've got to do one of those commercials.
What commercial?
Devil worship and conspiracy theory.
Oh, yes.
We haven't done one of those in a long time.
We got to really step up our game. COVID kind of fucked us up where we were on a good groove of doing extra content and shit.
Yeah.
And then.
We got to bring back some Puppet George content.
We got to bring back
Real
a lot.
Men of Masonry.
Lost Book of Enki. I gotta get. You know, everything kind of went to fast forward.
Finding our groove.
We went freaking like on. Okay, COVID happened. It went to like a complete grinding halt.
Yes.
And then it was like it's like that roller coaster. What's that roller coaster in Six Flags that just shoots you out the gate?
Love roller
like,
coaster.
Right. Which
I
one
don't
was
do
it?
Roller coaster. So I don't know. Up in Springfield.
No, in New Jersey. It was like the Batman and Robin. Remember, you'd like start and count down and just go, poof.
And there was a bunch of them.
That's what happened after everything
like
got out of lockdown.
The Aerosmith Rock and Roller Coaster, I think, is like that now.
All right.
The roller coaster of love.
What do you say, Joey?
Let's shut it down, George.
You got the off button, so you can stop streaming. But first, for the Freemasons Podcast.
I'm Worshipful Brother Joe, signing off.
Right, Worshipful Brother George Marjorie, signing off. I like making it weird and awkward and doing shit.
You're really good at that.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.